Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome to Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER Magazine, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, Basic Training, MedX in Scottsdale, Arizona, and UK Health Radio. Larry Weingarten, he's a philosopher, he's an author, teacher of life lessons. His book, The Philosopher's Wrench, with a follow-up, we're all talking about mental health. We'll get his perspective. Then we're going to discuss some of the sports doctors in consultation group and updates. And then some later, some Dr. Bob Wisdom and some emails and upcoming guests. Larry Weingarten, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hi, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Larry, give us some background. Again, you know, the mental game is what I call all aspects, where we have psychologists, psychiatrists, psychotherapists, and philosophers with mental health, again, whether it's for the best athletes in the world, or it's, again, you know, just trying to stay healthy. Give us some background on yourself and philosophy.
Okay, well, it seems a roundabout way, but I think of many things and use many things as tools. I'm a general contractor. I started using metal tools over 50 years ago. You know, a pipe wrench is a kind of tool. But there are other tools that are far more powerful. You know, acceptance, presence, perspective, hope. I've used hope to save people's lives. Very powerful tools. So,
yeah, that's interesting. With a background and manufacturing background, you were thinking maybe a little bit different way regarding the word tools. Again, you know, the sports psychology side and the mixture of, again, their life coaches and psychologists and psychiatrists. And again, how do you find the philosopher's role? Would seem to mix in comfortably with any of those mental specialties. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
If you use the right tools.
If you use the right tools.
Right.
I think otherwise we're narrowing our focus down too much to only physical. But, you know, we have spiritual beings, emotional beings, intellectual beings that are all wrapped up in, with our physical being as well. And if we look at the whole package, the whole life, these bigger tools absolutely fit and are useful.
And again, it seems that we can't stress these things enough when we look at whether it's the obesity epidemic. I've talked about childhood obesity for decades on the Sports Doctor, or whether, again, it is high-performance sports medicine, whether it's trying to live well or stay well, or, you know, 80s the new 60, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
People paying such attention. And we talk about the new medicine involving, you know, holistic points of view. We talk a lot of the holistic thoughts and the value of the spirituality side, even at the highest level of sports and sports medicine, has become very, very important. And I think that everybody takes this much more seriously, including the medical world. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
And I think hopefully is a good word. These things work so well if someone can find calm. That allows. There are so many physiological things that change when they're able to be calm instead of full of fear.
What a powerful point that is you just made, where you said finding calm. And again, regardless of the circumstance, you understand how valuable that is. And that's without talking about politics. You know, when we're just dealing, again, with the challenges, you know, social media, the pandemic, it seems tripled some of these different challenges. And, you know, I had a Dow specialist on the show from the summit probably a month and a half ago. Again, from thousands of years ago, talking about sometimes the same exact tools that you're trying to get across. And I find that fascinating and true.
I've studied ancient medicines, and they have a lot of the same tools. Siddha Veda is one. It's a branch of Ayurveda. A lot of the same, I just call them tools. You know, they've worked for 5,000 years.
Do you find, Larry, also, you know, because we talk about it a lot on the Sports Doctor, the necessity of getting these kinds of teachings included in school as best we can, as early as we can. And again, that idea of spirituality, nobody has a problem with it. Now, organized religion, good luck to us, you know.
Right.
But when the idea of faith, sometimes it's causing so much conflict. But spirituality, the mental game side, seems very, very well accepted. Do you find that this kind of important information is that we're making progress?
It's tough. You know,
it really is
because anything that goes against what we're sort of trained or indoctrinated to do is an uphill swim. I'm all for helping people stay in control of themselves in any way that they can, staying in control of their health, being the ones responsible for their health. Don't give it over to anybody. I'm all in favor of the sort of self-empowerment ways of
yes,
doing
well, this. You mentioned in some of your writings, and I thought this was also a very, very big point, you know, the health span versus lifespan. You know, we talk a lot about burnout pressures in all the professions in so many ways. And again, when you're talking about the big-time sports and these kinds of pressures, even on these young kids, both mentally and physically, but the health span—that's a good—that's a good phrase.
Yeah, that was first done. I think it was in some writing in 1987. So a couple of doctors came up with it, and the idea of living well, living fully, living—you know—not turning into a vegetable as you age, but living fully until you just drop dead when you're 120 or something.
Yes. The idea, the late great sports psychologist shared my radio show with me for a few years in the 90s, Jim Vickery. He was a sports performance enhancement performance. They didn't use the word psychology in the 80s and 90s. It scared people away. But he would always make such a big deal out of the importance of that these points are teachable, that, you know, people could really learn how they might implement these things, you know, into their life. And sometimes it seems overwhelming. But again, when I talk to all of these different experts, it seems, wherever they are in the world, whatever their vocation or expertise, and I say, how are we doing? And they say, you know, they roll their eyes like you just did, even though I can't see you, and talk about that we're treading water at best. But it just seems that there's so much good information out there, and the acceptance of the this whole lifetime effect. And, you know, again, I'm sure you mix in, again, the physical side, you know, the nutrition side, the importance of all of mm-hmm. these areas. Do you work with people on an individual basis? Do you work with groups?
Well, I generally work with whoever will have me. You know, the things I'm comfortable teaching and doing for people involve energy, efficiency, plumbing, stuff like that, troubleshooting, no matter what. It just doesn't matter. Anything about building science. Those
you have
are
a
my...
website, Larry, if you repeat
yes.
to find out about you and your books?
Sure. It's LarryWeingarten.com, and I should spell the last name. It's WeingarTen. LarryWeingarten.com.
Yeah, wine, wean. You know, my whole life I was wheel, while. I always had to pay big attention to how we pronounce, you know, those different points. And again, you know, the points you make when you're talking life lessons, these tools for making a difference. And you mentioned some of these categories.
again, what are some of these general bullet point areas you mentioned, whether it's perseverance, you mentioned calmness. What are some of these important words that you talk about?
Well, one more of them is balance. We seem to be way out of balance in so many ways. So I make a point, one of the ways I learn balance and have taught other people is to notice. I start with a simple notice, five good things every hour. It has to be an odd number, so it's not like, oh, every 10 minutes I better see something good. But five good things, and then pretty soon five good things every minute is part of your routine. It just, you're noticing what's right with the world. You're noticing the sun shining through the leaves or the bird that just flew by or whatever. And this gives balance to all the bad news.
Now, the point is that you're making a point to pay attention to this and actually follow through. Are you a meditation fan or visualization fan?
You know, what I don't know that this is the right word for it, but I really like quiet. If I can quiet, for 30 minutes a day, if I can stop all the noise outside, but more importantly, inside of my head, let the thoughts calm down, just quiet.
Yes, good
that
point.
That really helps me.
Age groups, I know it's like from 3 to 103, but where do you find a lot of your attention? Again, when we're talking again about families and relationships with their kids, where the sports relationship might mix in, with that particular teenager or whatever. And how do you find those parameters?
Well,
communication
is another one of those huge, huge ones where, can we actually, if people feel heard, that's a huge one. I think one of the things that's missing a lot in modern life is the grandparents don't get to interact as much with the grandkids, We were parents.
It's an incredible theory, and the great series, Conversations with God, with Neil Donald Walsh. He talks about advanced societies in the universe, and they mention the fact that that's one of the biggest things, is that child rearing is handled by the grandparents. The parents are there, and the wisdom of a grandparent, and that idea, which is, I think that's such an important statement. The idea of including how early should people be paying attention to some of these tools? I would assume the earlier the better would be great if this was discussed in elementary school. Maybe it is in some respects.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember going through school and they never really made any effort to teach me how to think. They taught me facts. Not really how I should use them, how I should fit them into my world.
And if you add on the pressure, again, we pay so much attention on the sports doctor with youth sports. That's why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. The next one has got to be sports parents and sports grandparents. But the pressure, there's such a overkill, overuse injuries with these kids in many instances. The more talented they are, the more we were, like 20% of Tommy John surgery, Larry's done on teenagers. Of some of this overuse. So the idea of taking tools like what you're talking about, paying big attention to these areas, makes a lot of sense. Even again, if you are a sports family and you're trying to pay attention to what counts instead of just winning or playing hurt.
Yeah. I mean, one other thing is we live in a very noisy world. So many things coming at us every minute of every day. Our attention spans have gotten shorter. I read old books, some, 200-year-old books, and they expect you to have a long attention span and be able to follow their logic. You don't expect more than a few minutes of attention span now. They used to, an hour used to be common. So
yes, that's
it's
a fascinating
curious.
Fact. That's a very interesting point. When social media times 100, and all of these challenges that we're seeing in that area, again, whether it's, you know, the whole idea of having that attention span, being entertained every 2 minutes, and not being happy if you are. And that's a so your book, The Philosopher's Wrench, and you do you have a follow-up coming up?
I do. Book two is being edited as we speak. So,
what's the title?
Philosopher's Wrench.
Ah, Wrench. Great idea. Okay, give me quickly the site people go to find out about you, your work, and your books quickly.
Well, my website, LarryWeingarten.com. The book is up on Amazon.
Okay, Larry Weingarten, WEINGARTEN.com. Thanks so much, Larry, for joining us. Great point. So important in the areas of health and wellness. And hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doc.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Good. Back in Chicago, everybody. By the way, happy belated Earth Day. It's such a big topic. It's such a big deal. And we really wanted to make sure that we had mentioned that. Even though there's a different title for a different topic, sometimes it's no matter what the day is. But again, happy Earth Day. We're going to talk a little bit about, again, the upcoming consultation of the Sports Doctors Inn. Again, the Sports Doctors Inn is the title of my third segment in the show. And we will include it again today where we preview some upcoming topics and guests. We get emails, questions, and a little Dr. Bob. It was the late, great Bob Guide of Wisdom to our discussion. And over all of these years, with the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of guests in so many different areas, and the sports medicine side of things, we decided to launch the Sports Doctors In consultation. And it is up on the website. And up on the different platforms where you can see information, you get a free consultation. And the idea of the program is to have, whether it's sports parents, whether it's adult athletes, whether it's coaches, family members who are interested in the development, the prevention of injuries, whatever the situation is, there's always some sort of situation. Even improvement and progress is a big, big one, a plan, so to speak. And what I've done is we had talked about this pre-pandemic, and then things got in the way. The idea of being the quarterback of the Sports Doctors Inn and having access to over 20 experts in various fields. And a concept that I used in one of the chapters in my book, hashtag a sports parent, which is as important today as it was when we launched it about 4 or 5 years ago. The next sequel will have to be in sports grandparents, like I was talking with our first guest, philosopher Larry. And these experts are orthopedic surgery, the team doctor of the Chicago White Sox and Bulls, Dr. Brian Cole, who's also my colleague in the sports medicine side with our last week's guest, the over 100-year-old baseball blue book, Dr. Chris Ahmad, the orthopedist, doc of the Yankees, been a guest numerous times. He is involved. Dr. Nick DiNobili, prominent Philadelphia orthopedist. He's worked with the Philadelphia Ballet. He's worked with the Eagles, the Phillies. And he's numerous times. He's been a guest. Dr. Sean McMillan, who's had a lot to do with the a big attention being paid to less opioids post-surgically. The Kate Davis, the sports nutrition gal who contributed to the book, Dr. Denise McDermott, adult and child holistic psychiatrist, has been a numerous guest. Almost all of my experts surrounding me, if they didn't participate in the book, they were guests on the radio show. We have a lot of attention to the mental game. Again, I just had mentioned Dr. McDermott and Mike Andrews, longtime colleague with the Bob Guida days, working with the Blackhawks and some of our young skaters. Now he's really specializing in the senior population, and et cetera, et cetera. And the idea is again, whether it's the coach, sports parent, athlete is calling, and they might be talking about the history of injury. Might have a question about, hey, Dr. Bob, what's the best shoe for me? Or what about my orthotics? Or what about the exercises you talk about? What about what I'm doing? And I'm looking to incorporate a better plan. And that discussion, maybe a two or three session discussion over a couple of months, and again, might include a referral to one of these experts. We had a question, it was a couple of months ago, it was about an eating disorder with one of our young gymnasts and dancers, and I was able to refer them to the dietitian side, medical nutrition side of things, as well as some of the psychology aspects in order to be helpful. And let's say, again, we referred you for sports nutrition. You were interested in what type of supplements for your son or daughter or yourself, or what about all this sports, these medicines? Jessica Beale Stahl, numerous guests, is a sports pharmacist. Brand new area in a lot of ways. And we might refer for her expertise, or Dr. Eli Weinberg, a sports cardiology. And the ability then to follow up over a couple of sessions, it might be a continuous relationship. It might strictly be something where we follow up in some situation. Again, these areas of parenting and coaching, you know, we're all very aware of the overzealous parent on the sidelines, sometimes the overbearing mom or dad, causing that young athlete to be scared to admit that, you know, my knees are killing me, Mom. Well, boy, my ankles hurt. Gee, my back is bothering me, et cetera, et cetera. Again, we might see the chiropractic area might be an area for with Dr. Williams in order to be able to make a consultation. Or, again, further in some area aspect of podiatry. So the Sports Doctors Inn is going to be, again, a place for a plan and a myriad of sports involved. Again, whether I'm calling on my history in the world of volleyball or figure skating or running, soccer, tennis, we have all sorts of great feedback to do the two things everybody cares about. Again, whether you're the best athlete in the world or you're their grandmother, we're interested in, can we prevent injuries? You know, again, the reason I co-authored the book, and my co-author, Sharky Zartman of Hashtag A Sports Parents, a Hall of Fame volleyballer, national team member, played back with some of these great teams, and the reason we co-authored the book was the epidemic, in capital letters, the epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries. When Dr. Ahmad of the Yankees or Dr. Cole, again, or any of these docs, and we find out that the famous, for example, the Tommy John surgery, which is done on so many pitchers in so many areas, very, very successfully, it's come a long way, it's still a surgical procedure, and the fact that maybe 15-20% are done on teenagers, too much, the terrible twos, too much, too aggressive. again, we pay big attention. I have, we just celebrated the 15th year in February that my young figure skater from Naperville, Illinois, Evan Lysacek, who was under 10 years old, we first put orthotics in his skates. And years later, 2010, he was the Olympic gold medalist. What a ride that was, including his dancing with the celebrities that he did. And this was an example of what I just wrote about this past month or so. It was published in Lower Extremity Review magazine called The Prodigy Sports. It's also a chapter in the book. And this was the realization of very early specialization by these youngsters, even though it's not recommended in general at all. Almost always the recommendation from sports therapists, athletic trainers, doctors, health and wellness, private individuals in training will recommend that kids play different sports, use different parts of the body. There's a particular injury sequence. We call it repetitive motion. Think of that tennis player who's swinging the racket 1,000 times a week, wondering why his elbow or his shoulder is a problem. This is one of the things that made the late, great Bob Guida, who I was so fortunate to spend 40 years with, some of his biggest principles, which was to strengthen the stabilizers, we call it the brakes, of whether, again, it was the shoulder muscle trying to counteract these volleyballers with this incredible slamming down of the shoulder or pitchers or football player, or whether he was talking again about that tennis player and strengthening that low back, upper neck, shoulders, et cetera, to try to counteract those tremendous forces. And what we see is, again, tremendous overkill. And, again, one of the chapters we pay attention to, one of the frequent guests we have on, this is going to be a definite topic on the Sports Doctors Inn, is over-the-counter medicine. You know, it will surprise people. There's only two countries in the world that allow prescription medicines to be advertised on TV ad nauseum, United States and New Zealand. You can't watch television for 5 minutes without side effects and drugs and drugs and drugs. And the over-the-counter, the ibuprofen, the Advils, the Aleves, where so many youngsters are taking these medicines because they're hurting. Dr. Wild, you don't understand her. She doesn't take two Advil twice a day. She's got shin splints. She can't run cross country, or et cetera, et cetera. I tell parents all the time, our bottom line, if your son or daughter needs over-the-counter medicine to participate, you're over the line. Now, that doesn't mean we never compromise. Make exceptions. You know, the kid's an Olympian. There's something that's really, really coming up. And, you know, medicines are important and they can be very, very valuable. But nobody's surprised at the absolute pandemic epidemic in the world of pain medicine and the opioids and the addiction and this incredible price we've paid for trying to play hurt. And, again, this, again, brings to our thinking why the consultation of the Sports Doctors Inn can be so valuable in all areas. You know, the new medicine, as I see it, I've talked about it for moons. The new medicine is, number one, eat smarter. I'll leave it up to you to define smarter. A lot of us have an idea, but even if you absolutely, including a nutritionist, individual whose expertise in nutrition, dietitian, number one, again, eat smarter. Number two, keep moving. Keep moving. Now, it's up to you. You want to be a walker? You want to be a jogger? You want to go to the gym? You want to do yoga? You want to do Tai Chi? So many options. And if you enjoy it, you'll do it. You can't be aggravated or pissed off while you're exercising. It's almost impossible. So number two, again, keep moving. Come up with something that you will do. And number three is huge. We talk about it a lot. We talked about it today with Larry, philosopher, which was the mental game. Number three, reduce stress. Number three, try to be quiet a couple times a day. Again, there's so many different methods that so many of our experts in the psychology, psychiatry world make a big deal out of. Now, the young figure skaters that I saw years ago, still in this day and age, would pay big attention to visualization, spending some time every day to picture in their mind going over a perfect program again and again and again. Famous study that Dr. Vickery, the late Dr. Vickery, another colleague of mine all those years as a sports psychologist, would talk about the idea that they had a free throw contest, and half the group just practiced in their mind visualization. The other group shot free throws. They both improved pretty equally, you know. So we'll talk more about it when we'll be back. Again, it's the Sports Doctor, everybody, live from Chicago. Everybody, we're back. We're talking about this whole aspect of the Sports Doctor's Inn and the idea of taking the philosophy, pardon the pun, Larry, of the Sports Doctor's Inn in 8 seconds. Yes, and this ability to take advantage of this incredible group over the years of guests in so many areas, again, of sports medicine, health, and wellness, in order to be able to make a difference in, at the very least, in these chronic overuse concerns. You know, frequent guest of ours over the years, over the past 5 years, Joel Franco, one of the founders of Chesapeake Films, and he's been working on the documentary, and I'm involved with it from the beginning, a couple of segments, of Where Our Children Play, the Challenge of Youth Sports, which sometime soon, I think, is going to be launched. And the whole idea, he was a sports dad, his kids are serious soccer players, he was part of that whole, again, sports parent world. He saw so much negativity, like we've featured and talked about, whether it's the over-abusive screaming a parent on the sidelines, whether this, you know, 10-year-old game with parents are fighting, even violent specific acts, as well as other challenges that we've talked about. And he wanted to really, really pay attention, including solutions. And this is where myself, Grant Malpe, some other expertises that he brought into the scope with the documentary, talking about all the improvements we've made, all the attention to, number one, are the kids having fun, everybody? Are we including that they're enjoying what they're doing? And again, the inclusion of lifestyle traits for youth sports, besides just the sport and the intention and the pressure on winning. And sometimes, again, whether it is not keeping score very early on or not putting as much emphasis on that part of it, and including emphasis on teammates, teamwork, interactions. Now, my friend, again, frequent guest, Ian Goldberg, the founder of iSport 360, and their big attention to education and communication for parents and coaches and kids. That interaction, my friends, last week we had Eric Wubina, the president of Baseball Blue Book, over 100 years old, and that one-stop, all information regarding, now it's going to include softball, again, the importance of the enjoyment part of those boys and girls. Not everybody's going to be an Olympian. Not everybody's going to be a scholarship player, let alone a professional player. So we get a lot of this new attention, again, including the scheduling and the attention to, so we would see these young hockey teams going in for a weekend tournament, they're playing 3 games a day. The professionals wouldn't do that, or a volleyball tournament, or any of them where time is of the essence. And there might be, hey, the kid's got 3 tennis matches in the same day. What, are you nuts? This is normal. And the more talented your son or daughter is, the more we can run into trouble. So this is, again, in the article, The Prodigy Sports, where we talk about that these kids, whether they're ballet dancers, whether they're, again, tennis, figure skating, gymnastics, where they're at 12 years old, 11 years old, mom and dad, I don't want to play other sports. This is what I love. I want to skate 10 days a week. And we see it in a lot of different sports. And we have to understand that that makes sense also, if that's really the passion of this boy or girl. And then to pay attention, whether it is incorporating a physical therapist, to incorporate and include a well-thought-out off-ice, off-field exercise strengthening program for this young boy or girl. And it's interesting that I make a big deal out of it in the book as well. I say there's two essential exercises you want to include, everybody, whether it's for you and you're a 75-year-old pickleball player, or your kid is, again, serious athlete, one sport or another. And again, number one, the sports doctor, is strengthen those feet and ankles. You want to learn how to properly strengthen your feet and ankles. Rubber bands are a great way to do it. Gosh, way back when with Bob Guida, he had to go to Goodyear. And getting back to Jack LaLanne, really the first guy who used any kind of elastic resistance, and you could really do a foot-ankle work. And over the years, ankles are the number one injury in sports. Still, yet, over the years, especially these young kids, they want to know how much they could bench press, how much they could squat or do curls with. They're not worried. Unless they're injured, then they might include ankles. So include. You want to work on quickness, explosiveness, stability, direction changing, strengthen those feet and ankles. Rubber band's a great way. And then number two, work balance. Bob Guida used to love, he had these athletes lined up on their mini trams. Baseball player was balancing on the mini tram with his glove on playing catch. Tennis player was swinging the racket, balancing on different parts of the mini tram. Hockey player swinging the hockey stick. All being challenged for balance and stability. And again, we see that so many of these injuries, these overuse problems, are repetitive motion. So we want to be as parents, and this is one of the reasons for the consultation. Again, I'll go back to my colleague, Dr. Vickery, where he'd say, for sports parents, I would drag Jim along with me. I would be talking about whether we were using ice and exercise, et cetera. He would talk about behavior and the mental side. And he'd say to parents and sports parents, number one, don't be a critic. Don't be analyzing your son or daughter's activity on the way home in the car. Don't be a critic. That doesn't mean you can't have constructive criticism in a friendly manner, in a positive manner. And number two is be a good listener. Often we would see these young kids, they're hiding the fact that they're getting headaches or et cetera, the concussion nightmare. Concussions 20 years ago, no one knew how to spell it. Now it's a very, very big deal. We have experts on from all over the world in so many areas of treatment, analysis, prevention. So these are these things. Being a good listener allows a communication between that youngster and their parents involving the fact that, you know, my knees are killing me, Mom, and or paying attention to the history of that boy or girl regarding problems. Again, in the world of podiatry, foot mechanics, very important to understand almost all persistent lower extremity problems or recurrent lower extremity problems, your back, your knees, your hips, your ankles, all of them are, if they're not caused by, they're related to foot mechanics. Does that boy or girl have high arches? Are they flat-footed? Do they have excessive pronation? Are they in the right shoe? So again, we want with these prodigy kids to pay attention to the fact that we understand some of the challenges. We want to pay a big deal in rest and recovery. Rest and recovery. So, again, we'll be giving more information on what listeners can do. If they want to email me regarding the Sports Doctors in or parts of it, drrweil@yahoo.com. Same email that we use for questions. And we'll be right back with the Sports Doctors in.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Again, speaking of the devil, this is the Sports Doctor's In segment. We're going to talk about some upcoming guests and topics. We'll add a little Dr. Bob wisdom to the mix, answer a few emails. Wanted to let everybody know again, the new website, thesportsdoctorradio.com. We will have more and more information regarding the Sports Doctors and Consulting Group over this not-too-distant future. But again, thesportsdoctorradio.com. And if you want to type in for that free consultation that we were talking about, send me an email. We'll set something up, drrwildsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. Same email we use for people who might send in a question and look to get their email answered. Great guest coming up, as always, Josh McConkie. He's a former physician in the armed forces, author, in the world of emergency medicine, in the world of what it takes in the military, whether it's high performance and fitness and wellness, or disease prevention, or again, sickness treatment. So Josh will be returning. And then Jody Vasquez, she's a life coach. Her daughter grew up as a type 1 diabetic, which takes all sorts of special care, injections, et cetera. And she takes a lot of what it took regarding being a mom dealing with a kid with a chronic condition in many areas of our lives, in so many different areas, making a big deal out of, in her points, that in the 80s, we had so many smart moves in the world of health and wellness that we've kind of gotten away from in many ways. So we'll see what her ideas are regarding those great 80s, if we could figure that out. Following week, Rob Fletcher. Rob's been on numerous times over the years. Rob is a former world champion martial artist. He's a guy who worked for years educating the public, especially the female public, on self-defense and in so many different areas. Over the past few years, he's become a big-time podcast host with Muscle and Fitness and all aspects of the anti-aging group. Again, with the great Bob Goldman, who's got more degrees than I can list at the end of his name in so many areas of the health and wellness of the National Academy of Sports Medicine. So Rob will catch us up with all the exciting things he's doing. Another one of our faves, Rich Dubin, will be joining us. Rich, of course, is the longtime publisher of Lower Extremity Review magazine. He's the founder of LER Expo, these virtual groupings and symposiums with all sorts of different experts in the areas of podiatry, as well as different topics with the Lower Extremity Review. And he'll be talking again about some of those different seminars and programs he has coming up, and his own experiences, again, as a sports dad. Throw that in. Ha! And again, the Lower Extremity Review, longtime supporter of the Sports Doctor. We really, really appreciate that and thank him. As a matter of fact, that's, again, the article that the op-ed that I published this past month in Lower Extremity Review, again, which was the Prodigy Sports that I was just talking about. Previous to that, we've written a couple of different articles on pickleball as physical. When I had that article published in Lower Extremity Review magazine in 2021,
most of the world, including the medical world, didn't know how to spell the word pickleball. Now it's one of the biggest problems, most popular sport in the country, including tremendous amount of injuries, because you need to be in shape somewhat at least. It's a lot of running, changing direction, swinging. So, and what's interesting, when I've talked over the years, the world of tennis, and I go way back, John McEnroe, Tracy Austin, Yannick Noah, some of these great, great players, Jimmy Connors, that used to come to Bob Guida for rehab, strengthening, et cetera. And adults who are in the 60s, 70s who play tennis have played forever, routinely, usually. They didn't start when they were 70, physically, that type of sport. So they know what it takes to be out on the court. This is something that we featured with my longtime colleague. He'll be on in a couple of weeks, Lou Vickery. Lou, years ago, pitched for the Yankees and briefly for the Cardinals. Whitey Ford was his pitching coach with the Yankees. And he is a 80s tennis doubles champion in many ways. And he's had a YouTube called What's Your Racket? That I participated when we was talking about all these challenges of the in the world of senior tennis. And again, the article getting back to pickleball was that it is physical. So again, if you want to play pickleball, great. Just again, whether you incorporate a physical therapist, your personal trainer, where you want to pay attention to strengthening the upper and lower extremities, hey, work those feet and ankles, work balance. It's very, very important. We did an article on hoverboard riding and how popular that was becoming. And the fact, again, of balance and stability, such a big deal. And either scooter riding, bike riding, et cetera. So, again, the incorporation of biomechanics, feet and ankles, and the fact that foot mechanics affect everything above. You know, it's interesting, again, that Dr. Bob Wisdom, for the female athlete, for the ladies out there, 50% of the ladies and female athletes I've seen, adolescents, tennis, volleyball, good example, running, are knee trouble. The feet affect the knees. The female body, the girls especially, once they start going through puberty, the hips widen. The angle called the Q angle, which is the angle between the femur, the long bone of the leg, and the knee, increases. And the more the foot flattens out and internally rotates, the more the knee twists. So we would see a direct relationship. And often this was missed because the feet might not be hurting that young girl. She might be playing volleyball, complaining about her shins and knees all day, but her feet don't hurt. So the idea of the foot mechanics, the orthotic side, is missed or ignored. So we want to pay big attention, again, to the role of the biomechanics. Again, some quickies. John says, I'm a runner, 45 years old. Our heel spurs, a surgical problem. Almost never, John. Get a second opinion. Orthotics, shoe changes. Pat says, my son runs cross country. He always has shin splints. Check with podiatry. 80% of persistent shin problems are foot-related because of that excessive pronated foot. Barb says, what's palliative podiatry? Routine care, trimming corns and calluses, trimming a diabetic's toenails. For all sorts of ages, podiatry has done that for a million years. Palliative, ongoing preventative care. We're out of time, everybody. We'll catch you next week at the Sports Doctor. Thank you.